All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So let's stand together. Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter number 14. I know our screens are blocked. We don't have the PowerPoint for this morning, and I know that you'll be all right with that. We need to bring our Bibles to church anyhow. Somebody say amen. And so this morning, I want to start a series. I know we're going to get interrupted with it with our Dominican trip, but I want to start a series just entitled The Call of the Faithful. And over the next several Sunday mornings, I want to look at different individuals in the Bible, heroes of the faith, men and women that God used in an extraordinary way to do extraordinary things, and they just were individuals who accepted the call of God, and they became faithful in the task. And this morning, the very first sermon in the series, I wanted to look at Caleb, a man with a mission. Caleb, a man with a mission. And so your Bibles are open to Joshua chapter number 14, and we'll look at verse number 7 down to verse number 12. Joshua 14, verse 7 down to verse number 12. The Bible says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Listen to this. But I, Caleb says, wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake the word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Caleb is 85 years old at this time in his life. Verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. How many knows you never retire on God? Someone say amen. I was in this day as Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Verse 12, now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. I want you to be seated this morning, and using the backdrop of our VBS mountain behind us, we're going to talk about Caleb, where Caleb said, give me this mountain that God has promised me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless in the beginning of our series this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come into your house to hear the word of God and to fellowship with the saints of God. Lord, it's my desire this morning to take the men and women of the Bible, Lord, and use them as an example of individuals who were faithful to the call of God on their life. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this day to be faithful to the call of God on our life, to do, Lord, what you have called us to do, and we will thank you for it, and all God's people can say, amen. Well, this week I had some extra time being out of school now, and had a little extra time to scan through some books that I've been wanting to read. And so I was going through some different articles and looking at some different books, and I came across one particular book that had an article on leadership. And in this book, there was a particular segment that caught my attention by Michael Anthony and James Estep. The article spoke of how visionary leadership sparks interest in others. That is, leaders who have the capability of seeing what others cannot see. Leaders who are visionaries, they see the invisible and they achieve the incredible. They can look around and they see a path, and they see that path full of possibilities. When everybody else comes in shaking their heads like it can't happen, a visionary walks in with an open heart, an open mind, and ready hands to do what God has called them to do. And so these guys are writing about this and different experiences in people's lives that these people were able to see these things, and they were talking about how it becomes contagious. You get a leader who's a visionary, who can see what others cannot see, who has the audacity and the fortitude within himself to have courage to do the impossible. And when people see that type of individual, it becomes contagious. People want to hang around that type of person, visionaries, leaders, and who are just passionate about what they want to do. And so I want to be a visionary, and I'm sure that you do too. I want our church to be a visionary church. I want us to be able to see what others cannot see. I want us to be able to have the courage to do the incredible and even the impossible. Well, we're doing that next week. We've raised over $22,000 here to put a well in the Dominican Republic where children there and families can have fresh drinking water. Not only are we bringing them physical water, but we will be preaching the spiritual water that only God can supply, and I think we all should say amen. What a wonderful task. These types of people, these types of ministries, these guys were writing were contagious. However, there was a certain part, well, let me say a certain word, in this article that caught my eye above all the other words, and it was in bold print, and it was the word mission. And so I'm scanning down through the article and reading it, and that word mission caught my eye, and I paused to really soak in what they were saying about mission, and I want you to hear what they had to say. They wrote, "When one talks about mission, he or she is referring to the foresight of something that could be. The visionary leader sees down a path, past hindrances, obstacles, and problematic issues to a possibility. These people envision for the rest of us what this ministry will one day look like and begin to articulate their passion for what could be. They slowly begin to turn their dream into a reality as they put structure and shape to their dream." Here's what caught my eye. The language used to describe this process is called a mission statement. And when I read that word, mission statement, I kind of paused on that for a moment and began to soak that in. What the writer is trying to say is that a mission statement is the wellspring from which all other issues when it comes to goal setting flow from. A mission statement helps to define the individual. It helps to define a ministry. It helps us to have purpose in achieving our goal. As a matter of fact, today I want to challenge you during this sermon for you to have a personal mission statement. Because having a mission statement will help you to organize your goals. I want you to define your family. What is the goal for your family? What is the goal for our church? What is the goal for our ministry? What is the goal for your marriage? What is the goal for your job? What is driving you? What defines you? And I believe articulating a mission statement is going to help you to advance and to organize all future goals. Many years ago, I came into a staff meeting here at the church, and I sat down with our guys, and there was a mission statement that we had when I first became pastor that I felt like it was a lot to say, and it really didn't define us in what we were trying to do as a church. And so I came in, sat down with our guys, and we began talking about what is it that we want to do here at Parkway Baptist. And in that meeting, we created our mission statement. We are changing lives one verse at a time. And when that mission statement formulated in that staff meeting, it became the driving force of everything that we want to do here. Every event that we have, our Sunday school, our ministry, we wanted to change people's lives. Not through an event, not just through a circumstance. We wanted to change people's lives through the expositional preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We believed that expository preaching was going to build people's lives up. And so we launched out immediately establishing a brand new system in Sunday school where we would go systematically through the Bible one verse at a time. I enjoy preaching through the Bible one verse at a time. You know why? Because I believe we need the whole Bible. Genesis to Revelation, somebody say amen. And I believe that we need every word of the Word of God. And as we preach the Word of God, it's going to change your life, change our church, change our culture, even change the continent and the whole world for the cause of Christ as God's people preach the word of God. Somebody say amen. And so everything that we do here at Parkway stems from that mission statement. If you're a ministry leader, you should be taking all of your ministry events and creating them around that mission statement. If what you do is not changing people's lives through the Word of God, then you adjust your event. Everything that we do ought to cause life change. And so it's easy for us now when we plan an event like VBS. The big goal tonight is not to have kids running around and water slides and candy and coloring and all this and that. The big idea is to change their lives through the preaching of the Word of God, changing their lives one verse at a time. Say amen right there. So everything we do, and it helps us to organize our events. So a mission statement helps to define a person, helps them to organize their goals, helps them to see past what others cannot see. It's that driving force that moves them forward. When I searched the Bible, one of the greatest mission statements in the Bible comes from the man that we're studying this morning. His name is Caleb. He's an example of what others could not see. When you read his life, you find that when others saw giants, Caleb saw God. When others saw walled cities that could not be torn down, Caleb saw a conquered city. When others seen a dreadful foe that was coming their way, Caleb looked beyond the dreadful foe and he seen a defeated foe. When others would look at problems, Caleb looked beyond the problems and he adhered and clung to the very promises of God. He didn't see the problems. He seen the promises of God in his life. This was the very thing that shaped his character. And because he claimed these promises, he formulated what I'm going to call Caleb's mission statement. It is a statement that I believe that Caleb woke up with every single day, and it became the driving statement for all of these years of his life. It became a statement that moved him forward. It became a statement that kept his eyes on the goal. It was a statement that helped him to claim the promises of God. And that statement is found in verse number 12, where he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." I believe that every day of Caleb's life, he woke up with the thought, "God, give me this mountain. God, give me this mountain." Let me ask you this morning, what is the mountain that you need this morning? Are you saying that, "God, I want you to give me my family back. Give me this mountain." Maybe you're saying, "God, I want you to give me my joy back." And you're like Caleb, "God, give me this mountain." Your mountain could be your family. Your mountain could be your marriage. Your mountain could be your joy. And you're saying today, "Give me this mountain." Every day of Caleb's life, he's looking forward to that one moment where he can claim his inheritance, where he possesses his possessions, and he claims that inheritance that God has given him. And the driving force behind him, in his heart, he's saying each and every day, "Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake." Now, you may be saying, why would Caleb say such a thing? Well, if you look at it from an exegetical point of view, looking at the history of the text, you'll discover that when Caleb was 40 years old, he's a 40-year-old man, he's strong, he's ready to go forward, he's a warrior for Christ, a warrior for God, he's 40 years old, and he is one of the 12 spies that Moses called upon to go into Canaan to spy out the land. And so Caleb and Joshua was another one, along with the others. They go into the land of Canaan and they spy out the land of Canaan to see if they can take the land that God has promised them. Well, when the reports come back to Moses, only Caleb and Joshua, only two out of the 12, only two of these men, they were the only ones who expressed confidence in the Lord's ability to deliver them into the land and to deliver them from their enemy. Only two out of the 12. And because of their faith, check this out, because of their faith, all of that generation is going to die off, and only these two, Caleb and Joshua, they're going to be able to live and claim their inheritance in the land, And the Bible says, check this out, that Caleb will inherit the land that he went to spy out. That entire territory that he went and he looked at, that entire massive expanse that he toured and he spied out, God says, because of your faithfulness, that's the land I'm going to give you. And we find in Numbers 14, verse number 24, these words, "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." He was 40 years old when he first spied out the land, and now he's 85 years old. Over 40 years had passed, and now an 85-year-old Caleb is ready to claim the promises of God. For those 40 years, Caleb lived with a mission statement in his heart. God, give me this mountain. God, give me this mountain. This is what you promised me. This is what you said that I could have. And for over 40 years of his life, he looked to the promises of God and he waited on the promise of God to be fulfilled. Ladies and gentlemen, what's your mountain this morning? What is it that you're saying, God, I need this. God, you promised me this. God, you promised me that. You said you'd help me here. What is it that you are asking God to help you with today? Form a mission statement. Organize your goals. And let that mission statement be the driving force to help you to achieve everything that God has called you to do and to be. If you believe this with me, say amen. So this morning, here's what I want to do. I want to give you at least three ways that we can view Caleb's mission statement. And I'm going to show you how his mission statement is characterized. And how his mission statement is characterized should be the same way that our mission statement is characterized. So I want you to see these three things this morning, and then we're going to go home. First of all, his mission statement was characterized by total surrender. You can write it down. It's characterized by a total surrender. Look at me in verse number 8 of our passage. The Bible says, Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Well, the other guys, they came back and said, oh, we're never going to be able to do it. There's giants in the land. We're never going to be able to claim what God has given us. Negative people in the camp. How many of you have ever experienced negative people in the camp? Say amen. Oh, they say, well, we're just not going to do it. Even though God promised it, it's never going to happen. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough means. We don't have enough manpower. We're just not going to be able to do this. Well, Caleb and Joshua come back and they say just the other. They're excited about what God's going to do. And the Bible says in verse 8 that they wholly followed the Lord. The reason why Caleb's got this awesome mission statement is because he is totally surrendered to the task. He is not going to give up, he's not going to give out, and he's not going to give in. He is totally surrendered unto God. And he says, I wholly follow the Lord. Now, everybody around Caleb knew this. Not only do we find, look at verse 8. Caleb is speaking in verse 8, and he says, I wholly followed the Lord. Now, he's not just bragging because other people know that Caleb has wholly followed the Lord. Do people in your community know that you wholly follow the Lord? You say, well, I go to Parkway Baptist and I'm there every Sunday. Do they know that you wholly follow the Lord Monday through Saturday? Oh, it's getting quiet in here, huh? Do they know that you wholly follow God? You see, this is not something Caleb's bragging on, say, hey, by the way, I wholly follow the Lord. Well, other people knew it too, because verse 8, Caleb is speaking. Verse 9, Moses is speaking. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, and Moses swear on that day. This is Moses speaking. Surely the land whereon thy feet had trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast, here it is, wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 8, Caleb is speaking. Verse 9, Moses is speaking. So not only does Caleb's testimony is, I wholly follow God, everybody else knows it, and Moses affirms it by saying, this guy wholly follows the Lord. But not only does Moses affirm it, but God himself affirms Caleb's testimony. Verse 8, Caleb is speaking. Verse 9, Moses is speaking. But verse 14, God is speaking. The Bible says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Why? He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. What an amazing testimony. Caleb says, I wholly follow the Lord. Others affirm that. Moses said, this guy wholly follows the Lord. But even above Moses, the great prophet of God, God looks down and says, Caleb has wholly followed me. Now I want you to notice something about God in this passage. I want you to catch this. I don't want you to leave without understanding this. The passing of time did not change God's command. The passing of time didn't change his promise. God promised him that when he was 40-something years old, and over 40 years have passed now. He's 85 years old, but guess what? God's promise remained. Aren't you glad for that, friend? God has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. I was 12 years old when God saved my soul, and I claimed that promise that God would never leave me and never forsake me. And I'm standing here today at 46 years old, and I can tell you that all these years, God has been faithful to never leave me and to never forsake me. The time does not change our Lord. Somebody say amen. All the way many years before, God said there in Deuteronomy, verse chapter 1, verse 34 and verse 36. Deuteronomy 1, listen to this. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land which I swear to give unto your father, save Caleb, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he had trodden upon, and to his children, because he had wholly followed the Lord. Years and years ago, God says, this generation is going to pass. I'm going to save Caleb. I'm going to watch out over him, and I'm going to give him this inheritance. And Caleb knew that, and for all of these years, he has totally surrendered. He's following God. Now, do you know why Caleb is wholly following the Lord? Let me give you three reasons why. Number one, because God deserves it. God deserved that adoration. God deserved that praise and that pursuit from the heart of Caleb. Ladies and gentlemen, God deserves it today for you to follow him, for you to sell out for God in total surrender. Not only does God deserve it, but God desires it. Do you know this morning that God wants you to walk with him? God wants you to be with him. God wants an intimate, personal relationship with you. God doesn't want you to live in spiritual obscurity. God wants you to be close to him. And God desires this morning, the God of heaven desires to have a personal, one-on-one relationship with each and every individual in this room. God not only deserves it and desires it, but God demands it. God commands his people to walk with him. God tells us in his word to be holy, for I am holy. God demands it this morning that we live close to him, that we not be a part of this world, corrupting ourselves and compromising ourselves, but that we walk with God, totally surrendered unto him. Somebody say amen. Now the Bible portrays Caleb as an example of faithfulness. And there are multiple points in the Bible, both from God and the biblical writers, who state that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. But when I read the text, here's something that I discovered this week. Other than Caleb and Joshua, the only other Bible character that received this commendation, someone who wholly followed the Lord, was one other, and it was King David. King David, the Bible says in the book of Kings there, he wholly followed the Lord his God. You know what? When you look at Caleb, Caleb is an obscure individual. Some believe that he may have even been a proselyte Jew from Egypt. Others believe that he was actually a Hebrew. Either way, his entire family, he comes from a generation of slaves. Generation after generation after generation. being born in Egypt as a slave. This young man who is a slave, coming out of Egypt, walking with Moses, walking with Joshua, God's going to use him in a great and mighty way to do wonderful things for the cause of God, and God's going to bless him, and God gives him this accommodation that he wholly followed the Lord his God. Here's another great note I'll tell you about Caleb. You notice over in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, we read the verse earlier. It says, "But my servant Caleb," and I begin looking through the Bible and trying to find out the times that God calls an individual a servant and their name. And I found that God says, "My servant Abraham." He says, "My servant Moses." He says, "My servant David." And so here is Caleb being born into a slave family there in Egypt. And God gives him the title, "My servant Caleb." Lining up with Abraham, Moses, David, all of these great men of God, Caleb falls into that category. I want you to know, friend, he's totally surrendered to God. And a man that kneels before God can stand before anyone. A man that kneels before his God, totally surrendered, can stand before any foe that comes up against him. The great preacher there in Chicago, D.L. Moody, was saved at the age of 19 years old, and D.L. Moody had heard an evangelist by the name of Henry Varley. And as Henry Varley is preaching that day, he made this statement that stirred the heart of a young D.L. Moody. He said this, "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a man wholly committed unto him." Those words stirred the spirit and the soul of D.L. Moody. Later, D.L. Moody would say that that day, he said, "By the grace of God, I will be that man." He was an uncultured, uneducated, untrained shoe salesman. Yet he totally surrendered to God and he moved two continents for the cause of Christ. Don't tell me that a boy or a girl or a husband or a wife or a church or an individual cannot do great things for God when they are sold out to him. We can and we will by the grace and the power of God in our lives. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Can you say amen? Totally surrendered to him. Caleb's mission statement is characterized by a total surrender. But not only is it characterized by a total surrender, secondly, his mission statement is characterized by what I'm going to call a tactical security. A tactical, on purpose, intentional, a tactical security around the life of Caleb. Look at me in verse 10. The Bible says, "The Lord hath kept me alive." That is Caleb's testimony. Keeping him alive was the tactical act of God, and Caleb knew it. This morning I'm here to tell you that I'm alive today because God is my provider and God is my sustainer. Me and Kyle was talking this week that we believe that a man and a woman is immortal until God is done with them. That's why I get on a plane to go to the Dominican Republic. If God chooses to do otherwise, then it's God's will for my life. I believe that an individual walking in the will of God and the ways of God is immortal until God is done with him. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse to exercise stupidity. If I go out there and lie on 2A in front of a semi-truck, I dare not presume on the power of God. But I do believe in the will of God, walking in the ways of God, that God is going to protect an individual. If you believe that, say amen. While countless of you could stand up and say how God has spared your life, maybe in a car accident, maybe God delayed you staying at work or at home just a few minutes more, and if you would have got on the road at that time, there was an accident just up ahead, and maybe perhaps God spared your life. God's healed you of cancer and disease. God has watched out over your family. God has provided for you, and Caleb's walking around with this mission statement in his heart. He believes in tactical security. For 40 years, he's walking around facing every foe, believing that God's going to protect him based upon the promises of God. Woo! Glory to God. Can you say amen? He's walking around in faith, not in fear, because he's clinging on to the promise. God said, I'm going to give you this land. God said, I'm going to watch out over you, Caleb. The land that you're spying out, it's going to be yours. And for 40 years, this old man is conquering every foe, waiting to claim the very promises of God. Why? He believed in a tactical act of God, that God was going to keep him alive. Now that's good preaching, Brother David. Can you say amen? You know what I'm going to believe? I'm going to believe in a tactical act of God. God's going to keep us alive. He's going to help us. If this is what God wants us to do, he's going to help us to achieve it and to get where we need to be. You see, not only did God protect him from foes, but I want you to notice, God protected him from two severe forces that can destroy any child of God doing the work of God and the will of God. Not only the foes, but there were two forces. Number one, he protected him from discouragement. How discouragement can set in and ruin a marriage, ruin a ministry, and ruin a member's life. It is a powerful force that all of us have to deal with. Discouragement can meet us right around the corner at just about any time. In one moment, we're walking on the mountain with God and a circumstance changes, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in discouragement. And God kept Caleb from discouragement. I want you to look at verse number 8. The Bible says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, it says, made the heart of the people melt. Oh, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb was not afraid to face the giants and the fortified cities in Hebron. He was convinced that God would lead him into a land and that God would drive out the enemies before him. Furthermore, he even knew that there was not one place that God was not going to lead him and that God was not going to keep him. I love what one commentator said about this. He said, the 10 spies saw only the risk. They measured their chances to take the promised land against themselves. Listen to this. In sharp contrast, he writes, Caleb and Joshua focused on the opportunity. They measured the giants of the land against God. Listen, friend, you may be like David, a young, short individual standing before a 10-foot-tall giant. But when you're walking with Jesus, you are 10-foot-tall. Amen? There is no foe and no force that can come against you. So God's not only protecting him, keeping him alive, this tactical security, keeping him alive not only from discouragement, but also keeping him alive from disbelief. You know, during the Reformation period, the one that began that Reformation period was Martin Luther. And Martin Luther never really wanted to stop the Catholic Church or destroy the Catholic Church. He wanted to reform the Catholic Church. He believed that the Catholic Church and the papacy was getting away from the mandates of Scripture, the indulgences that were being sold. He felt like the church was making money off of the people, and he was angered at the fact that the church had drifted away from the fundamentals of the faith and was becoming corrupt. And so the Reformation period was not to destroy the Catholic Church, but to reform the Catholic Church. And so the papacy contacted Martin Luther, and they wanted to bring him back into the church. So they sent a cardinal to go talk to Luther, and they tried to persuade him with giving him some gold. If you'll just take the money, Luther, and stop all this nonsense, come back to the church, all of this can be over. And Luther denied, said, I'm not taking the gold. The cardinal got very upset. He wrote back to a pope, the papacy, and the people there, and he said, this fool does not love gold. And he's frustrated, and he doesn't know how to convince Martin Luther. And so he gets so frustrated with Luther. Luther is a very stubborn man, and he gets so frustrated with him, he says this. He says, what? Do you think the pope cares for the opinion of a German boor? The Pope's little finger is stronger than all of Germany. Do you expect your princes to take up arms to defend you? You, a wretched worm like you? I tell you, no. And where will you be then? Luther's comment was classic. He says, where I am now, in the hands of Almighty God. Amen. The world looks at us and says, what if we take away your tax exempt? What if we take away your churches? What if we take away your Bible? What if we take away your freedom? Where will you be now, a Christian? I'll tell you where I'll be. I'll be right here in the mighty hands of Almighty God, protected by Him. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah to His name. This mission statement, give me this mountain, it's characterized by a tactical security. God kept him from discouragement, and God kept him from disbelief. When all the other spies fell into the trap of disbelief, the Bible says Caleb and Joshua turned their eyes toward the power of God. Numbers 13, verse number 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then you read in chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 6 and verse number 9, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb went before them and searched the land. Listen to this. They rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the Lord which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. I'm sorry, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Listen to this, for they are bread for us. I love that. Old Caleb looks around and he sees all these giants and the Anakim that is out there. Everybody else is fearful, but Caleb says in his heart, we can do this. These guys will be food for us. The breakfast of champions is Anakim, is what he is saying. He's saying we can go out there and we can defeat this foe. Why? Because God is going to be with us. Do you see what's happening to Caleb? He's got this mission statement. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And for over 40 years, it defines him and it presses him forward to do the incredible and to see the invisible. Not only do we see that his mission statement is characterized by total surrender and a tactical security, if you will, but last of all, very quickly, let me show you that his mission statement, it's characterized by a testimonial statement on the behalf of Caleb. The Bible says in verse number 11 these words, and I love this. This is where it gets really good for me. Verse 11, he says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Keep in mind, he's 85. He was 40 when Moses sent him to spy out the land. And this courageous, gray-headed old-timer steps up in front of everybody and says, I am as strong this day as I was in the days that Moses sent me. You've got to admire him, amen? You've got to admire this type of courage. Many people in their older years, they just want to give up on God. They want to retire out, give up, say, well, we've done our part. It's time for the younger generation to step up and do their part. I want you to know that is nowhere in the Bible. Wow, two amens, three maybe. That is nowhere in the Bible. It doesn't matter what your age is. Quit giving yourself excuses and saying, well, I'm old now and I can't do what I used to do. There is always something that you can do for the honor and the glory of God. If you can't walk, you can pray. If you can't walk, you can give. If you can't get out and do these things, there's something that you can do for the honor and the glory of Christ. Say amen. Here's this old guy stepping in front of all of these big, huge, strapping men who have watched out over themselves during the desert. They're ready to conquer. They're ready to move in. Caleb's like, move aside, boys. Move aside. He said, as strong as I was then, I'm just as strong now. He is ready. I love this. He is ready to lead the pack. He is ready to grab the hand of God and to move forward for the cause of Christ. He says, as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day of Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Instead of wanting to retire, Caleb wants to stay in the game. And I'm asking you to form a personal mission statement that will drive you forward so when you get older, you're not ready to retire from ministry. You're wanting to stay in the game. You're wanting to take the lead. You're wanting to grab the younger generation by the hand and says, by the power of God and by the wisdom of God, what I did then, I'm going to do now. Let's go forward for the honor and the glory of Christ. He wants to be in the game. He has health. He has energy. He has desire to claim what God has given to him. And he picks, listen to this. This is great. He picks the biggest battle. Out of all the battles, he picks the biggest one. And this is the part of the story that really excites me. He's a senior citizen. He's a golden ager, if you will. And he's taking on giants. Out of all the battles, out of all the territory, he says, I'll take the Anakim. Give me the big guys. He's not looking for the little guys. He says, give me the big ones. The bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall. This 85-year-old guy picks up, forms his teams, and he says, give me this hill country where the giants are at, where the large ones are at, where the fortified cities are at. They are mine, he's saying. Man, you got to love and admire his personality and his stamina. He's the type of guy you want on the team. He's the type of guy that is in the huddle of a football game when the team is down. He's the guy that comes back to the huddle and says, throw the ball to me. Give the ball to me. That guy that's on the other side, I'm going to take him down. Throw the ball to me. I'm going to win the game. These are the confident people that you want on your team. And this was Caleb. He's strong enough for warfare. And in chapter number 15, in verse number 14, you find that Caleb, he actually drives out the three sons of Anak. The three giants that are in the land, he drives every single one of them out. And he actually possesses the land that God has given him. What an amazing man of God. Give me this mountain. You know, when you read history, you find that Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions. And he took a bold step as he landed there. He wanted to secure military success. And so he gets all of his soldiers and they go up onto a high mountain, the ridge of the cliffs of Dover. And he commands all of his soldiers to look down at the water below. And as they're looking down at the water below, they see all of their ships on fire, being burned there in the water. Caesar knew that since the boats were gone, that they had no way to get back to their homeland and there would be no retreat. The only thing that they had to do now was to move forward and to conquer. You know what? I think there are some things that God needs to take out of our lives. There are some things that have brought us so much leisure that we have retired on God. There's so many things that we rely on for security blankets and this and that, that it just may be that God may need to move it out of the way so that the only place that we can go is to advance and to conquer. And that's exactly what Caesar did with his troops. And that's exactly what God will do with us when we decide not to retreat. I want you to know this morning. God's not looking for us to retreat, but rather God's looking for us to repeat. He's looking for us to repeat the steps of his servant Caleb. Total surrender that is grateful for the tactical security that God gives, which produces a testimonial statement that the world needs to hear. Give me this mountain that God has promised me. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. You are a good and gracious God. And Father, I pray this morning that our families would form a mission statement. Lord, something that will define them. And to help them, Lord, today to see the invisible and to achieve the incredible and even do the impossible, just like Caleb did. Father, I pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord, and help us to look to you. Help us, Lord, to grab a hold of the call and to be faithful to it. And Father, we will thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. While your head